This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Like a football Friday again, to be quite honest with you, right? I mean, it's Combine week. I am no longer at the Combine. I'm back in Buffalo. Had to have my own little mini Combine at the Chicago airport yesterday. I mean, for a lot of you, the reference you might not understand, or you might think of it a different way. I'm talking about the commercial for OJ here back in the day. I think it was Hertz. And he's running through the airport, jumping over things. Like, that was me at the Chicago airport yesterday. I did my own little mini combine. I'm like, I just came from the combine. These guys are running the 40. I had to run like 150. Here's what happened. I leave Indy. You can't get a direct from Indy to Buffalo, right? Like, you just can't do that. It's like, you know, it's not one of the, Buffalo doesn't have a lot of places you can go direct. Main cities, Chicago, New York, you know, Boston, Philly, you can do that. So I leave Indy yesterday, leave the combine, flying to Chicago. I have about 45 minutes to get to my next flight. It's fine. Not a big deal. But the way the Chicago airport is laid out, O'Hare, you know, there's different terminals. So you go from one to the other, and I'm reading the... And I accidentally read the wrong part of my boarding pass and gate. I thought it said C1. It said C29. So when you come up the terminal C at O'Hare, it splits 1 through like 20 one way, 21 through 29 the other way. And literally one is at the one total end of the terminal and 29 is at the other end. It's not like they start, you know, you're in the middle. So I'm like, I got C1. I got plenty of time. So I start walking. I go all the way to C1 and they're boarding. I'm like, oh, okay, this is great. They're already boarding. And I look, it says Syracuse, New York. I said, I am not going to Syracuse. What happened here? I'm going to Buffalo. I look down at my boarding pass. I made a mistake. It was C29. I don't know where I got C1. Maybe we came in.
Was C1 your seat?
No, I think C1 might have been like we came in at B1 or something. So I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I just kind of screwed it up. I don't think they changed it. They might have. And it was just too late for me. Maybe that's what happened. So I'm thinking, oh, I just walked all the way here. Now I got to walk all the way back to 29, which I got to go back to where I came from and then some. Look, I mean, first world problems here, pal, right? I mean, like, it's okay. I'm at the Chicago airport. I come back from Indianapolis. But I'm like, I hate missing my boarding time, because if you're on a smaller plane and if you have a good boarding time, then you're later and they have to put your bag up and all that. And I'm like, I got to get there for my boarding time. I had group two, which is nice. Group two, and I'm like, all right, got to get there. So I'm doing kind of like the OJ in the old Hertz commercial running through the Chicago airport, O'Hare. I don't know if you know the commercial I'm talking about. You can look it up. OJ's he's jumping over tables and chairs and all of that. But I'm dragging my bag and got my big jacket. You know, coming from Indy, coming to Buffalo, I came off a cruise, but I had a big jacket because cold, right? So I couldn't put it in my suitcase. I have it with me. And I'm carrying it. And then at one point, sure enough, the bag kind of falls a little bit. Got to pick it up. I'm getting a little embarrassed. Had to run all the way over there. Sure enough, I get all the way to 29. And it was, I mean, I'm telling you, Josh, it was the moment they said, now boarding group 2. I'm like, yes, this is beautiful. And I got in line. And a couple of people from group 3 kind of, or they said now boarding group 2. And then by the time I got there, they said group 3. So a couple of people were there either way. Got on the flight. It was really good. And then what happened is, you ever get in one of those situations on a flight where you're with somebody, but you're not in the same seat, same row, or you're with your near people who aren't in the same row who should be. That's what happened to me. I get on, this woman sits next to me, and it's a three seat row. I'm in the aisle. Woman sits next to me, and she says right away, yeah, I got split up with my husband who's up there. And I think she's telling me because she wants me to switch with her husband. And that's fine, but I'm thinking, I'm in 24. I already put my bag up top. If I go up there, that's a long time to wait for. At the end of the flight, A. B, if he's in the middle, I really don't want to sit in the middle. But I got to be nice here. And I'm like, I'm a nice guy. And I would want this woman to sit with her husband. I know what that's like with a wife and kid. That has happened many times. So I said to her, I said, where are you going to? She said, we're going to New York because our daughter is in a bowling tournament. Like, this is amazing. Right? And they don't even live in New York. I'm like, wow, like we bowl a lot in Buffalo. So I'm like, all right, I gotta let this woman, you know, with her husband. So the plane, everybody sits, and I said, hey, where's your husband? What row? She said, he's up there in row 11. It was actually 12, but she said 11. And I said, where's he sitting? She said, he's at the window. I'm like, just tell him I'll switch with him. You know, he can come back here. Okay. So he gets up, it was an easy switch. I went, I'm telling you, I got rewarded for a good deed. I'm gonna pat myself. It was the only row where there was a middle seat that was open. She could have gone up and sat with him. But instead, I went up, I sat in the window seat, and I had two seats to myself. Well, with the guy next to me, who was a Bills fan too, on the aisle, but yeah. And I said hi to him, and he knew who I was and all that. So it was cool. It was a good trip home then.
That's always the best feeling on a plane when you're sitting there and you're like watching everyone get on. You're like, okay, nope,
yes,
nope,
no,
nope.
I know.
Good, good.
Nobody's next to me. Nobody's next to me.
And then the door closes, and you're like, there it is.
But and you know what? And it was really cool. You know what they did? When the plane stopped, they looked up at me and said, which one's your bag? And they brought it to me. Very nice people.
That's awesome.
So I hope I didn't get their name. I hope their daughter does amazing in whatever bowling tournament she's in New York, because that is pretty cool. So I was glad, you know, hey, you know, you gotta be good human beings, the city of good neighbors. I was like, oh man, I don't want to go up there and sit in the middle, but if I want this woman, but it wasn't the middle, it was the window, and then the middle seat was open, and I was very happy about that, very thankful. Flight went smooth. Not so much with the flight down. I'll get to that a little bit later. Had some travel issues on the flight down. I want to get some kind of advice from all of you about this out there today that I want to explain about what happened on my travel going down to Miami and then went to Indy for the combine. Now back here in Buffalo on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in. It is a Friday. Good to be back with you. Thank you very much to Josh Schmidt and Zach Jones and Derek Kramer for holding the fort down here and filling in. You guys did a great job back here. I think we had a lot of really good content from a lot of people out at the combine, right? From your perspective, Josh, listening to everything, hearing the interviews I did, all the other things that have come out from the combine, is there any takeaway you had? Like, I'm interested in what people thought about anything they heard about the Bills. Let's start with the Bills. Like, what was the big thing from the Bills? Because I'm sitting there doing the job and I'm putting the content out, but there might be something you go, you know what, Sal, that was really interesting what we heard about this.
Well, I mean, obviously we had the Shakir signing right
yeah,
away, which
yeah,
was
sure.
really big. I was excited about that. That's perfect to lock him in, but it's been interesting to hear all of these wide receivers they're talking to today specifically, and then also the guys they talk to on the defensive line, because I think those are the two that everyone's so focused in on and everyone really wants the Bills to look at. I'm getting more towards the big guys, like the defensive line and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much in the Kenneth Grant camp. I think he'd be great, but I'm worried he's going to rise up a lot of people's boards with the testing and everything
yes,
like that.
Yes, I agree.
But other than that, I mean, your interview you did with Steve Palazzolo, that was just so just incredibly insightful from him, because he had a lot of good things to say on or just interesting things to say, I should say, on like the Bills with their where they're at in terms of defense and offense and wide receivers specifically with that one too, because a lot of the guys in this draft are slot guys, the big yeah. names anyway, and that's a lot of the guys the Bills are talking to too, which I think is really interesting because Shakir is kind of already your slot guy and you just signed him to a long term deal, like. There's a
thought out there that they should have drafted Ladd McConkey, and there's a thought that I always had last year where you're really kind of doubling up, though, which is Shakir. Right. But I get it. Ladd can play a little bit outside, not a lot, and Shakir can play a little bit outside. You can always take good football players. I'll tell you, I'd love to have Ladd McConkey on the Bills, but I do think that you have to think about how they go together. And one of the things the Bills have said over the years, Joe Brady said this last year, you have to be careful about redundancy at that position, right? And they did need to get a little bit bigger, a little bit more athletic, a little more physical, and have an ability on the outside, which they didn't have. But this year you go into it, I mean, I don't know, maybe Jeremy has called it the wide receiver train again, but I don't think we're so much on the wide receiver train as much this year as last year. Still need help there, still need some more. Wide receiver really comes down to me for the Bills this year of what do they think they're going to get from Keon Coleman? And what do they think they're going to get from Curtis Samuel? And if you piece together everything that was said from the combine over the week, from Sean McDermott to Brandon Bean, I think they all expect Keon Coleman will take a year two jump, but they also aren't sure because it didn't go great for him as the year went on and after the injury, and we've all heard, and that is still, to me, one of the biggest takeaways from the combine was what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean both said again about Keon Coleman, especially McDermott, who seemed pretty critical of Keon. Critical to the point of very professionally critical. What I mean by that is he wasn't blasting the guy and as a person, as a human being, just, hey, he's got to be better than what he was after the injury. And we've communicated that to him. He wasn't the same player. Brandon Bean said that. Bean kind of softened the blow a little bit when he talked after McDermott did. And I think that's more of like, okay, like we've piled on the kid a bit here and they sense that. But at the same time, they are letting everyone know, hey, we expected more out of him later because he was really trending well. I mean, for people to say, if anybody says Keon Coleman was a bad draft pick, that's fine. You could say that after 1 year. He was trending really well and he was playing really good football for the few weeks before he got hurt. Then he has the injury. He misses 5 weeks, and he comes back, and he just wasn't the same player, and that showed up in the number of targets. That showed up in the lack of contested catches he had. So that's number one. The second part of that is, what do they think they're going to get from Curtis Samuel? I firmly believe that they believe the turf toe injury to Curtis Samuel really impacted the way he was able to play or not play and what they were able to do with him throughout the season. And then he had these other little nicks and bumps and bruises that kind of piled up. And there was a shoulder injury there. And he had another, the foot thing was happening all year. It was back and forth with that. Look, he's not a guy that's been hurt a lot in his career. He's missed some games. But I don't have a concern if he stays healthy. Like, to me, that happens in football, right? He had a bad injury or an injury that lingered. And now we'll see. But again, the question is, can you count on that? Is that what they're going to count on? They kind of have to with the contract they gave him. You know, they want him to. It's $8 million a year for 3 years. That continues on next year. So a lot of the wide receiver discussion goes there. I think most people are focused on defensive tackle, as Josh just said a little while ago. And all of that's happening this weekend. The defensive tackles, defensive linemen, wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, everybody working out in Indianapolis this weekend. I'm back here because all that happens. We'll get the information on TV. Watch that. Have the numbers for you. And then you'll see it this weekend. In Indy, it was a great time at the NFL Combine to get a lot of information to kind of feel out the landscape of the league. It's really interesting when you have a great quarterback like Josh Allen and you don't have to be walking around Indianapolis wondering what everybody thinks about quarterback and as it relates to your team. And my conversations with about teams and media when it came to quarterbacks was about their teams, right? Where do you see that team at quarterback? Because I just think it's still super interesting, the carousel and the landscape around the league at quarterback. It's really kind of the number one storyline every year. And now we have this Matthew Stafford story, and that's with the Raiders. Is that going to happen? It seems like it's starting to percolate even more. Then you had this fight that happened, apparently, whatever you want to call it, a verbal confrontation at Starbucks between Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz, which actually did happen, even though the first report seemed like it was almost like a joke. It actually did happen. Wild. Wild week in Indy. It was an awesome week in Indy. A lot of good information. A lot of good times. I will share some of that as we go on today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here. Glad to have you with me and us here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Give me a call if you'd like. Anything you heard from the combine that translates into what you think about this offseason. It could even be the salary cap going up over $20 million again. $24 million this year. $31 million increase last year at this time. Another $24 million increase this year. What does that mean for the Bills? Whatever your thought is, if you have an overarching thought about the Bills this offseason, I'd like to get to that today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number. My buddy Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, the Shout podcast was in Indy as well earlier this week. He's going to join me at 11 a.m. to talk about his thoughts on the Bills, what he gathered from McDermott and Bean, and anything else that kind of went down at Indy. So I'll get with Matt at 11 a.m. Before that, late addition to the show here, Armando Salguero, who covers the Miami Dolphins, writes for Outkick.com. We've had Armando on a lot here, and of course, he's on a lot on the afternoon show as well. Armando wrote a story that was just put out, like literally just before I went on the air, and I'm like, ooh, dude, I got to get him on the air here. While I was in Indy, I wasn't able to get with any Miami people. There was different things going on, and they were kind of doing their own thing. So, you know, you don't want to infringe on that space as they're doing their job. I was able to get with people from other media, but this is great timing because Armando covers the Dolphins. He'll join me today at 10:30 in just about 15 minutes. Here is the teaser to the article he wrote. All right. How's this sound to you, Josh? Here's the teaser to the article. It's what he wrote on Twitter. Tyreek Hill is a great speed receiver on a team that needs to be more physical. He's a great cheerleader, but not a leader. The Dolphins added him in a trade, and it got KC better. Oh, and he quit in the 2024 finale. Dolphins should trade him. Read it.
Wow.
That's a great teaser on Twitter.
That's crazy.
That's not clickbait. That's click and yes, I want to read more.
Yeah. That's like draw you in because I got some stuff to say.
Yes, exactly. And it's not like inside info. He's right on all this, right? That's
oh, for sure. Yeah,
you could exactly debate the whole the word quit or whatever, of course, right? These are all subjective terms, but yes, it's exactly right. So Armando's going to join me at 10:30 on his thoughts on Tyreek Hill and his thoughts on the Miami Dolphins heading into the 2025 season. You talk with a lot of people about in the league and the quarterbacks are the thing. Last year, the Dolphins thing was the contract extension for Tyreek. It's not as much that this year. There were a few guys last year, last couple of years, you know, that group of Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, they've come up. You know, Allen's contract extension, something they got to do there. That's been the talk the last few years. But this year, it's more about who's going to come available, where's this guy going to go, and the teams that need one, are they actually going to draft a quarterback in the first round? Because what does this class look like? And I was blown away when I realized, you know, Joe Shane, former Bills assistant GM, he speaks on the Giants, and he goes, you know, the only quarterback on our roster right now is Tommy DeVito. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Wow. Kind of crazy. So what are they going to do? To me, and the way it sounds like from Giants media that cover them, like, they need to grab somebody for this year. They can't wait on a quarterback. They can't go out and draft a Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward and think they're just going to start winning games, because if they don't, they're not the first year, right? I'm talking about Shane and Dable. If they don't win, they're out. We kind of know that. So there's pressure on them, and I think urgency on them to find that quarterback. Other teams might be a little bit different. Tennessee's going to kind of have to restart. They're going to the second year with their coach. They had Will Levis, didn't work out, but is a quarterback worthy at the number one pick? Maybe. You got Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. Those are the guys at the top of the draft. Not a quarterback this year, maybe. We'll see. How about Cleveland? How does their situation look? I think they're another team. There's two thoughts on Cleveland, two schools of thought here that I've heard. Number one, tear the whole damn thing down. Burn it and start over. Draft a quarterback. Draft Cam Ward. Draft Shedeur Sanders. Whoever it is. That's fine if they want to do that. I've also heard from Cleveland, no. They have players. They have a pretty. They can have a really good defense, especially if they can convince Myles Garrett to stay, which doesn't sound like it's the case. But how do you do that? You have had a good, great running game. Even though the O-line's getting a little older, you could still do something there. Obviously, it's not Deshaun Watson. What is it? I think Kirk Cousins seems like the favorite idea in Cleveland right now. I'm not saying that's a great idea. I think Kirk Cousins feels like. What does that feel like to you? Kirk Cousins in Cleveland seems like it's the flavor. and the idea. And by the way, he had worked with Stefanski. That's a big reason why as well.
I just don't see it working out very well. I mean, he's immobile now. He's not been that good in Atlanta. And with all the bad vibes in Cleveland, I don't think it fits at all. He needs to go to a place where he can just kind of sit in the pocket and have good receivers to throw to, where Cleveland has none of that. Like, it's just not the right place, I don't think. But then again, like, I don't know if Cleveland's the right place for anybody, right? Like, it's a tough situation in general.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the team that I think is becoming super interesting just for this is the Steelers. From everybody I've talked to at the Combine, it feels like, and Pitt, this is like Pittsburgh media. When I say everybody, I mean most of like the Pittsburgh media that I talk to. I'm not with the Steelers GM getting the info on this other than hearing what he says. But most people who cover the Steelers say kind of sort of the same thing in a different way, which is Steelers kind of want Justin Fields to be the guy, but Justin Fields might not want to be the guy there. He might want to be the guy somewhere else. So if that doesn't happen, do they go back to Russell Wilson being the guy who they kind of don't want to be the guy, but they might have to because it might be the only option? Or do they draft somebody? Do they go out and make a play for Stafford, which doesn't seem like is going to be in their MO? And then you got an aging defense with Watt and Hayward and even Minka, who's a little bit older now. And how much time do you have left there for that group if you're going to do this? Or are you resetting? You're not going to reset this year. You're resetting next year. And what does that look like, right? So there's a lot of stuff there with them as well. Very interesting. That's what happens at the NFL Scouting Combine.
Where does Sam Darnold fit into all that?
That's a great question.
His contract value, by the way, on SpotTrack right now, the estimated market value is $40
million. Hmm. I thought Darnold was going to be the Raiders guy until all the Stafford stuff started happening.
I wonder if the Stafford stuff falls apart if they go right back to Darnold.
I'll tell you where I think Darnold winds up after. The first question is this: are the Vikings keeping Sam Darnold? Let's just say they don't. I'm going to go back to the team we just talked about. I think the Giants make sense.
That'd be really funny too if he went from one New York team to the other.
I know, right? Hey, Tyrod Taylor did it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor, by the way, the Jets are interesting here. Is he the starter for the Jets? As of right now, he's their only quarterback. Technically, Aaron Rodgers is still on the roster. Go look at the Jets roster. Tyreek Hill, Aaron Rodgers. No Rodgers, we know that. Not Tyreek Hill. Tyrod Taylor, sorry. Tyrod Taylor's their quarterback. That's it. Is he their starter? Does Aaron Glenn say, I'm going to draft somebody? Does he bring somebody in? There's no way. Darnold doesn't go there, right? Go back to the Jets. There's no way that happens.
No.
Cousins is in play there, I think.
Yeah, I think Cousins is in play there. That's just doing the Aaron Rodgers thing with, you know, less drama. Like, it's the same idea. You have a guy who just tore his ACL or Achilles.
But I think that they believe they are still close enough to compete for a playoff spot. And they also have the longest playoff drought in the league, so which gives you more urgency, even though the coach is new and he knows he probably has time.
Yeah, that's true. But I think if you go for Darnold, it's just the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. It's just you don't have as much drama, so maybe there won't be as many problems. Maybe you could have more success. But he's still the immobile guy that can't really move out of the pocket. And again, that offensive line isn't the best. It's not terrible, but it's better.
How big of a difference, honestly, how big of a difference would it be if the Jets started Tyrod Taylor or Sam Darnold every game next year?
Or Sam Darnold?
As you said, I'm sorry, Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, sorry. Man, that's tough.
Right?
That's really tough.
Is it really that big of a difference? I don't think it is.
I don't know, but
There are different types of quarterbacks.
I think Tyrod is better for the type of team they have, which is just, it's awesome to see him get a starting job again. Like, that's really cool to see just everything he's been through, and now he's back in a starting position potentially. Like, but I think he fits their team mold better than what a Kirk Cousins does.
I think it's super interesting. That's another team to watch out for, and obviously at the NFL Combine, paying attention to what Aaron Glenn had to say. Muji, I think, is how you say their new GM's name. They call him Muj. He came from Denver, was talking with some guys over there, really like him. Young guy on a nice track, becomes the GM of the Jets. Also, obviously, Mike Vrabel in New England. That's an interesting one. Look, the Patriots are going to be better. They're going to be better. They have a really good quarterback, I think, to start with here. And they have a much better coach. And Mike Vrabel's going to run the ship right. He's going to get them back to kind of on track and have the kind of discipline and the things that they need. The problem is the things they need on the field are very numerous. They don't have a lot of playmakers. And I think they're shifting philosophies on both offense and defense in some ways, where when you do that, it usually takes a good year to kind of get everything back to where it needs to be. There's a lot of question marks about their coaching staff, how it's going to work. You got Josh McDaniels there working with Drake May. Could go great. Doesn't have to go great. We'll see. We've seen quarterbacks come in this league who had great rookie years. C.J. Stroud comes to mind, obviously. And then all of a sudden, it kind of isn't. It's not as great the next year. So I think there's still a lot of questions there. But when it comes to the New England Patriots, obviously Bill's AFC East Division rival, I think they have a chance to be the second best team in the division, but that's mainly because I don't think the Dolphins or Jets are going to be that good. And I think if the Patriots, I mean, if they play the kind of the way that Mike Vrabel really wants to and can play, they can minimize their mistakes. They can play some lower scoring games. They don't have a ton of talent on offense. They do have a lot of cap space. They're going to go out there. They have some draft picks. They have a high draft pick. They can be better, quicker. And to me, it's like their trajectory is facing up, whereas the Jets and Dolphins is either plateau or going down. And I don't doubt that they could intersect and be a little bit better than those teams. And if that's the case, what is that, though? Is that 7-8 wins? It's not enough to make the playoffs. The Bills are still very, very, very much the class of the AFC East. Very much. The other teams are starting to figure the things out. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything. I mean, every year is a different year. And obviously you hope the Bills stay healthy. The Bills clearly have, A, the best quarterback in the division. We know that. They got the league MVP. They just have the better roster and the overall organizations right now than any of those teams. There's no doubt about that. But I think the Patriots are the team next, though, that is close. They might be at the end of next year. I think we'll be saying that Patriots are the closest team to the Bills in the division, closer than the Jets or the Dolphins. But how close is that, I think, is the question. And we'll see. And maybe we feel really good, and maybe, I mean, from a football standpoint, feel really good about where the Jets are after Aaron Glenn, who's a culture changer, goes in there. Dolphins, I think, have kind of lost their way. Mike McDaniel did sign a contract extension before last year, but man, if they don't win a playoff game, I think it's winning a playoff game. The Jets have the longest playoff drought of not making the playoffs in the entire league. The Dolphins have the longest playoff win drought in the entire league. They haven't won a playoff game in like a quarter century. And I think it's that long. When's the last time? 2000, 2001, something like that? When's the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game? 21? Take a look. I know it's right there somewhere. I think it's like 01, maybe? Like 25 years? Dolphins' last playoff win. I know I can Google it, but I'm going to rely on you to do that.
That would be December 30th of 2000. They beat the Colts 23-17.
That's a quarter century has gone by before the Dolphins have won a playoff game. So I think if they don't win a playoff game, they could be looking at big changes, both in their front office and at head coach, possibly. In the meantime, what does Armando Salguero think about that? He covers the Miami Dolphins. He just wrote a piece this morning about Tyreek Hill. He's still in Indianapolis, and he's going to join me next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Thanks for sticking with me. We got cruise tips later. All right? My cruise tips. I got some good cruise tips. You're going to cruise? You want to go on a cruise? I have cruise tips for you. Because I've gone on plenty and enough of them to tell you what I think you need to know. Plus, a couple cool Netflix documentaries that I watch. So we're going to get to a lot of things today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But first up, next up, Armando Salguero joins me to talk about the Dolphins.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you back here in Buffalo. I was in Indy for 4 days. We're going to go back out to Indy right now because our guy Armando Salguero is still at the NFL Combine. I think you're still there, right, Armando?
I am still here.
All right. Well, I think at this point I should be asking you where you're getting your coffee in the morning, to be quite honest with you.
Well, you know, there's a choice. You can go to the free Starbucks coffee in the media room, or you can go to the Starbucks counter at the JW Marriott, and maybe a fight will break out. Who knows? That's the way it is around here.
It is amazing. I try to explain to our listeners what it's like, and I say, and it's really the only time in the NFL calendar, it's this huge convention for all of college and pro to come together, and you have all the media descending on there, and it's really just, a lot of times it's, you know, some media people are like vultures, right? They just want to get with this GM or coach and have one-on-one time. They stalk them out, and then other people are just kind of there to get their information, their content, but this is where a lot of the competitive juices come out, and that's what happened. And this story, honestly, I feel uncomfortable even talking about it, but it became a story, right? I mean, that's what happened.
Well, you know, it's because of the fact that it involves a high intensity and high attention NFL player in Matthew Stafford, number one. It involves two guys that are on television and competing networks, and it involves a little, you know, tit for tat history that those two guys have. And now everybody's getting involved. You saw the guys on TNT, the pregame show, the postgame show, are talking about it. You know, it's delicious in its ability to distract from, you know, the cone drill. Let's put it that way. It's more interesting than that.
No doubt about it. Armando's in Indy. I did see you pass by. I was doing some work. I'm glad we were able to catch up now because we weren't able to talk there. And I actually didn't talk to anybody regarding the Dolphins because I know the way the schedules worked out. So I'm so glad you wrote this piece today and I was able to reach out and thank you for coming on at short notice. I'm going to read it to everybody again. It says, Tyreek Hill is a speed receiver on a team that needs to be more physical. He's a great cheerleader, but not a leader. The Dolphins added him in a trade and it got KC better. Oh, and he quit in the 2024 season finale. Dolphins should trade him. I love this lead-in. Tell us all about just kind of your collective thoughts on why you put this together for Dolphins fans to know everything you were thinking about Tyreek Hill.
Well, because we're covering an NFL where teams do hard things, Sal. Oftentimes, it looks terrible, and oftentimes it makes fans cringe. But oftentimes it must be done to get better and to move on. The people in Buffalo are familiar with, you know, moving on from Stephon Diggs. did the Bills have a better year after they moved on from Stephon Diggs? I mean, last I looked, they were in the AFC Championship game, right?
And their quarterback won league MVP.
Yeah, exactly. The Kansas City Chiefs, they moved on from Tyreek Hill 3 years ago and have been to three consecutive Super Bowls, winning two of them. It happens. This offseason, the San Francisco 49ers are going to trade Deebo Samuel. Is that, like, on the face of it, look like a smart decision? No, but they've decided they have to do it because it's time to go in a different direction. You don't keep doing the same thing over and over again and hope to get different results. The Miami Dolphins are a team that are a finesse, fast team, and it's great for them. It's very exciting. It's very entertaining, but it doesn't win at the end of the season. It doesn't beat good physical football teams. They can't do it. The record says they can't. My eyes tell me they can't. It's time to move on from a 5'10", you know, speed receiver who is one of three other 5'10 feet speed receivers that they have in their wide receiver room. No less than Nick Sirianni was talking about how you comprise a receiver room here at the Combine. And he said, you don't gather four point guards. It's like building a basketball team. You need a point guard. You need a center. You need a forward. Mm-hmm. You don't have the same guy over and over and over. And the Dolphins have exactly that. And, oh, by the way, last I saw Nick Sirianni before yesterday, he was in the Super Bowl.
Hoisting a Lombardi trophy, no doubt, right? I mean, and they have put together, they do have different skill sets on their roster. Now, look, Tyreek Hill has this amazing skill set. But tell me about the player himself and what he is now, because obviously a lot of these guys, their speed starts to diminish. There's other things they have to kind of turn to. We saw that a little bit with Stephon Diggs toward the end of his Buffalo career. He was never a speed guy necessarily, but he had to kind of figure out a different way, and it wasn't working as much. What about Tyreek Hill and what he has left as a player?
Look, I think he's got plenty left in the tank. He's going to be 31 on Saturday. Happy birthday, Tyreek. I want you traded. The thing about him is, again, not physical. The price of his non-physicality is going up because his contract runs out next year in a year where his cap number is in the 50s. Okay.
Yeah.
In the 50s.
Wow.
That's not optimal. And, oh, by the way, at the end of last season, this is the second year in a row that he finishes the season with a terrible, terrible look. 2 years ago, in a playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs, Legarius Sneed just totally destroyed him to the point where Tyreek Hill said, yeah, he sent me to Cancun. And the NFL tweeted it out on its social media, what a smothering it was. Last year against the New York Jets, who, by the way, aren't that good, they totally erased him from the game, and then he erased himself from the game in the fourth quarter when he decided, I'm not playing anymore. That is not leadership. That is not the look that you want on your team if you're the Miami Dolphins. And having said all this, my guess is that they'll remain with Tyreek Hill on their roster because it's a soft organization. It's a culture that just, I don't know, man. They very entertaining, but not a winning.
Interesting, because I want to get to the coaching staff. Did all of this cost Wes Welker his job, everything you're talking about?
They've told me it didn't, that wasn't the reason that Wes Welker was gone. Having said that, I think Wes Welker is a gritty guy. Mm-hmm. I think he demands grit from his guys. And when one of his guys quits, that ain't grit.
No, that's right. Now, what about the head coach, Mike McDaniel? I mean, this is a team and organization, as you know, more than anyone. We were just saying they have not won a playoff game in a quarter century. It's the longest playoff win drought in the NFL. Mike McDaniel, contract extension, I believe, before last year was announced. What is his status going into 2025 and Chris Greer, for that matter, as well?
They think they're on the right track. And I say that, you know, kind of, I don't know. Look, they have this thing about we want to be best in class. And so they are right now celebrating the fact that the NFLPA report card came out. And for the second year in a row, they have the highest grade. They won the NFL report card championship, so to speak, because they provide their players with all the best and the fanciest and the most comfortable amenities possible, from the team playing to the cafeteria to the locker room to child rearing and all of that stuff. And that's great. You know what my typical Miami Dolphin fan thinks when they see that? We won the NFLPA report card for the second year in a row.
What's that?
We're a team that doesn't make the playoffs, or didn't last year, doesn't beat good teams because they haven't. They are finesse bullies in that they beat up these poor teams with poor records. And a couple of years ago, they put 70 points on the Denver Broncos, who were overmatched because they couldn't keep up. But then when it comes to playing a good team like the Buffalo Bills, they just wilt and they got nothing. And Tyreek Hill last year against the Buffalo Bills, this great, amazing receiver, three receptions for 24 yards in the first meeting, four receptions for 80 yards in the second meeting. They got blown out in both. He didn't score a touchdown in either.
You know what I see when I look at that report card, and we talked about this with Shope and the Bulldog, the guys you're on a lot with here, that when I see all those A's and A pluses from a team that doesn't win, I think things are too comfortable. The guys like it. They're not getting pushed, right? Like we talked about, which goes back to maybe on the field. That's my read of it. Hey, yeah, all these things are great. It's really nice. We have this really fun organization. We're in the sun and, you know, and the hot tubs and all that and pools in Miami or whatever, but it's too comfortable, and that's not how you win in the NFL.
100% agreed. Look, the Bills were 26th in that survey / report card grading. The Eagles were 22nd. The Chiefs 2 years ago were 30th in a year that they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So clearly players being comfortable and happy and flying first class and all of that, that's great and nice if you're also winning. But if you're not winning and you're comfortable, something is amiss.
Yeah, I like that. Armando, I'm going to let you get back to work at the Combine. So good of you to join me here today on such short notice. I really appreciate it, brother. And we'll catch up maybe at the owners' meetings in about a month.
Love you, Sal.
All right, you too, buddy. Armando Salguero right there. Outkick, Fox News, sports, everything. He does a great job. You can, by the way, follow Armando. I just want to get his Twitter handle. I think it's just Armando Salguero, but I'm going to do that right for you right now before I leave, because I want you to go read this particular piece at Armando Salguero on X/Twitter. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, I have cruise tips for everybody because we have Matt Parrino come up at 11, so I had a short segment. When I come back, here, I got I wrote them down. I got four big cruise tips for everybody. You're going on a cruise? I've done enough of these things now. Now I'm not a cruise master, but I've cruised enough to tell you a few things you need to know if you're going on a cruise. Cruise tips with Sal after this timeout on WGR. All right. A little tropical music here for you on a little colder day, still some snow on the ground here in Western New York. The weather will turn eventually. I think we're going to hit like close to 60 next Wednesday, I think I was looking at, right? Yeah, and a little colder after that. Doesn't matter. You might be thinking about going somewhere, getting a little sunshine, getting a little tan. That's what I did. I said, I need to get out, get some sunshine. That's what we did. We love going on cruises, my family and I. And I'd gone on one my entire life back when I was in the 20s with my parents. Went to Hawaii, actually, on a cruise many years ago. And I'd not done it for a long time. My wife, she loves to travel. She's from Europe. So we've done that thing before. But we started cruising years ago. And it's just awesome. Now, I get it. A lot of people don't love boats because it's a little too rocky. You don't want to do that. I'm here to tell you, most of these cruise ships, you do not feel yourself even moving. The ships are massive. Ours we were on was 19 decks. I think 19 total. Actually, ironically, had, I think, 14 or 19 bars. This huge sports bar. We watched the Canada-USA gold medal in game in. They have a casino. They almost all do. There was a bowling alley on ours, a huge water park. That's what these cruise ships have these days. But if you're going to go cruising, okay, here are four things that I said, you know what? I think my listeners would like to know these tips about cruises. So here we go. All right, open it up. Let's start. Let me go to the number one. The biggest one is last. So let's start with number four because this is very important, okay? Learn the ship as quick as you can. You're there for 7 days or 5 days or whatever. You're on this ship that is so massive that it's like a big maze when you walk around. What deck is that on? What deck is that on? If you can get on the ship early, and I know that has to do sometimes with how you pay for priority boarding, whatever. Doesn't matter. When you get on the ship, you will have time to walk around and familiarize yourself with the ship. Where is the dining room? Where is this bar? Where's the casino? Where's the kids club? Where's the water park? Where am I going? Where's my room? What's the most efficient way to get there? Learn the ship as quick as you can. It will make your life so much easier as you go on throughout your time on the ship to know where everything is. Okay, that's tip number one from Sal. Cruise tips with Sal. Number two. You're probably going to download an app of some sort, whether it's an app or just a schedule. Take a look at all the activities they have and make sure you sign up for the ones that are like that fit you and you want to do. There are so many things. We did a cool thing. We went to a super, it's all free, by the way. It's all free. Now excursions aren't, you might have some you have to pay for, but most of them are all free, but they might have limited space on these. You could just walk in and go to a cool trivia contest like we did. They played movie music trivia. Like they'd play a song and you'd have to say what movie it was from. We did that. We did karaoke. I did karaoke. I did Ice Ice Baby. My wife has it all on video. People were telling me how great
Release
it was.
Release the tapes.
Oh, yeah. It was great. The tapes. I did Ice Ice Baby. Some woman came up to me. She goes, "You're Sal Capaccio, a big Bills fan. That was amazing." I said, "That's awesome. I love it." Right? So we did that. Make sure you sign up for and say, "Oh, that's a really cool one," because they will go fast. The good ones will go fast. Okay? So sign up for any activities. The next one is on the heels of that. Folks, take advantage of the best shows you see. I saw an amazing Michael Jackson show while we were there. This person was just like Michael Jackson. They did Beat It and Billie Jean and Thriller and all these songs. And it was like watching Michael Jackson. It was amazing. It was incredible. I'm telling you, find some cool shows. These things are free, but you got to make sure you hit it. We did another one. It was a 80s rock show. And they just did a medley of 80s rock, and I'm into it. We're singing. It was incredible. Take advantage of these shows. They're free. These are things that if you want to pay a normal price to go to at Shays or at Key Bank or something like that, you're paying a lot of money. Now, it's only 40 minutes maybe at most, but that's cool. You're in and out. Go take advantage of it. Finally, my number one tip, if you're going cruising, my number one tip, get the drink package, everybody. Get the drink package. I don't even drink that much. I am not a big alcohol drinker. I don't really like beer. I like some red wine. I like some seltzers. I actually like my spicy Bloody Marys. I realize even more than I thought I did in the morning, especially. My wife's not a big drinker. But the reason you get the drink package is, and we have our son, and soda. Whether it's soda or alcohol, doesn't matter. Juice, soda, whatever. Get the drink package. It will save you a huge hassle at every time you think about how much, what am I paying for? What is that? How much does that cost? Okay. Number two, at the end of the stay, you're probably going to actually pay less money because I think it's like between 60 and 90 bucks a day per person. I know it sounds like a lot. I'm telling you, you have a few drinks while you're there every day. That's adding up to over $100 a day by the time you get to the end of it, especially if you have kids, right? So you're actually saving money. Get the darn drink package if you're going on a cruise. That's number one. Cruise tips from Sal. Hope everybody learns a little bit next time you're going cruising. All right? Learn the ship. Sign up for activities. Take advantage of some great shows. And get the damn drink package. Matt Perino next from Syracuse.com after this time out on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.